Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 118 of Nerd Pride Radio. 118, 118, 118. All right, November 8th, 1923. I know, I'm stretching. Adolf Hitler leads the beer hall putsch to try and overthrow the German government in 1923. I didn't realize he was on it that early. I guess I forgot. But thank you to Kaz for pointing me to the date because I was out of stuff. So I appreciate it. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I'm awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be here listening to Nerd Pride Radio. This is the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. And my co-host this week, Peppermint Butler. I love that guy. Before we get into anything important though, what's that noise? That's right. That shrill, ear-piercing noise means it must be time for a little feedback. And actually, my feedback this week comes from Ronster, and Ronster says, "Have a wonderful Christmas." That is the tail end of his Christmas card he sent me, which, that's not the exciting part, is that he sent me a Christmas card. Oh, no. The important, exciting part is the gift that came with it. Oh, hold on. Hold on. My sound just did something terrible. Let me just slide that down. Wow. There. That's probably a little bit better. I don't know how that happened, but that was creepy. All right. Anyway, Ronster sent me a Christmas card with a gift in it. And me being the selfish and self-centered person that I am, I couldn't wait for Christmas to open it. So I opened the gift right away. And in fact, I opened the gift before I even opened the card. That's how eager I was to get to it. It turns out he sent me a die four, a cylindrical die four, one of the bones-style dice. So that – here's the thing. I was asked about them on the podcast, probably by Ronster, and – I had said I have never tried them before. I mean, it would be interesting to try. I didn't know if I'd like them or not because they seem a little weird. I think that's what I would have said. All right. But having this die four in my hand, it is the most amazing die four ever. It looks a little weird. You got to get used to it. But when you throw it, you're throwing a die four and the number that you get is the number that's facing up like a real die. It's amazing. I can't tell you how much I love this thing. I'm using it already. It's so exciting. And here's the best part. It's a perfect die. All right. I've already told you I like dark dice with bright colored, you know, gold or white numbers on them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It meets all of my criteria. And in fact, right here inside the card, after I'm already like gushing all over it and I'm in love with this die and I'm showing it to my kids and my wife, who were equally impressed, by the way. Then I open the card, and the card even says, all right, let's note, and here's more that I didn't even say. Okay, yes, it's dark in color. It has gold high visibility lettering. I don't already own one. And as he points out, technically, even though it's a die four, it's technically a 12-sided die because it's got the four faces that can possibly come up, and then each end of it is capped with a little tiny pyramid. So technically, there are 12 sides on it. So it is a perfect die in all respects. It is the best die 4 I have ever owned. I'm so excited about it. Thank you, Ronster. You really did. You went all out. He's been listening to the podcast and listening to the Podomatics and gained all the information he needed to buy me the perfect gift. I don't know how much he paid for it. I don't know. I mean, you know, when you go buy them from a bin of dice, or are you only paying like, you know, 50 cents or a dollar like you normally would, or these specialty ones a little bit more? But then you went to the effort to get it to me. And anyway, I'm so in love with this die. It's amazing. All right. Anyway, enough of the feedback. It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my very busy week, I add it to my master list right here in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the best stuff off of this list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Right in that master list, the first thing up, it's my Nerd Pride book report. That's right, I read a book! Okay, I have been putting off reading my brother's book forever. I mean, how long has this book been out? A year? A year, and I finally got that. And I told you guys before that I was reading it, and it took me a while to get to it. Well, alright, I got it, got into it, and I mean, I kicked it out in a matter of a few days because I was hooked. My brother, the book is Mutzigner's Game by Kyle Jones. I've told you this 800 times. You guys already know this. If you haven't checked it out, go over to Amazon and buy Norn's Quest first by Kyle Jones and then buy Mutzigner's Game. Read them both. My brother is a really good writer. A really good writer. It's a young adult fantasy with a female heroine who is amazing. And my brother has taken this story to play. What I appreciate about it, and I'm not going to give a whole lot other than it's a post-apocalyptic style world. It focuses on kids and female protagonist, as I mentioned, and based around Norse mythology. And there have been times all through the first book, all through the second book, there were times where I knew exactly where the story was going. You can see it coming. You know what's going to happen. And then it turns out that he does not do that. He catches me off guard regularly, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that these are realistic characters with realistic motivations, that he can focus on this many people and ideas at once and keep them all together. It's really amazing. It's really, really fun. Go read Mutzigner's Game. Kyle, once again, sorry it took me so long. I was intimidated. I remembered the first one being so long, and I thought this was going to be a huge project. And it turns out, I kicked it out in a few days because I just couldn't put it down. And it was awesome. It has the distinction of being the first book I've now read entirely on my phone, because you guys know how I love my smartphone. And the Kindle app installed easily, and in fact was probably already there without me having to even install anything. The Kindle app is right there, and I'm so used to reading stuff on my phone. Everyone's like, well, doesn't that hurt your eyes? Doesn't it bug you? I'm like, I don't know. I use my phone to read web stuff all the time. Why is a book all that much different? And it was awesome. Really, really awesome. Thank you, Kyle. It's a great book. So next up, my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. All right, this is going to be the long section. I was gathering stuff out of my pocket mod here, off the master list, and I did not realize how much gaming stuff I had to talk about this week. So this is going to be the bulk of the show, people. First off, let me get down here. All right. As always, Pathfinder. We're going to be playing Pathfinder on Thursday, so I got 4 days to go, three by the time you guys hear this, and so excited. We set up, I told you we were, you know, our group now, we're all seventh level. We're heading into the fortress where the ogres are. And there's, you know, probably 20, 30, 40 of them in there. We don't know how many. And so it is going to be our first huge tactical battle. And I don't know that we're actually going to be able to pull off the tactics, but I think we're going to be able to handle this. But it's cool because we're using a big map. Like, we've got room to maneuver. We've got room that will be far enough away that we might not be able to to hear each other. Maybe my song won't reach all the way across the battlefield, especially with the noise of 30 ogres all losing their lives, I hope. But I'm really excited about it. The whole setup, we got everything in position, and I mean one round of combat. And now, I don't even know the ogres recognize that we're there, because they're so busy fighting with the electrical lizards. So, it's just so cool. So cool. So I will, obviously, I'll let you guys know next week how the battle turns out, but, or maybe even sooner. This is, well, I'll get to that when I get to Listener Betrayal. We'll talk about that. But Pathfinder is going well. Second, Snake. All right. You guys remember when I was giving you weekly updates on Snake? Okay. This week, I, got a game of Snake going and it just went really, really well. And I won. I beat Snake. I beat it. I filled the entire screen. I uninstalled it. That's it. I got done. I mean, I have been coming back to Snake, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week. I'll play one game and then I'll put it away. And this time, finally, I finally beat Snake. I'm so proud of myself. And let me tell you, the last 10 minutes of it, approximately, because it took a while. The last 10 minutes of it, as I realized, oh my God, this is it. This is it. I could really be doing this. And I've been this close before and then lost it. So that last 10 minutes, I mean, by the time I was done, I was shaking. I had so much adrenaline pumped into my system. I don't think I came down for about a half hour. It was weird because I got to the end. I'm like, I won. And there was no huge thrill of excitement because I had all this adrenaline. I was so pumped up on the win, on the strain of just getting to that win, that afterwards I'm like, okay, it's done. I can uninstall it. I can get rid of it. It's gone. And I'm like, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Maybe my heart is not ready for video games anymore. I mean, even simple ones like Snake, but I beat Snake. So there, I've told you guys about it. I never have to talk about it again. That's awesome. All right. Still in the gaming table. This weekend, if you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook yet, went out camping with the scouts. And when I say camping, I mean the scouts set up tents in the snow, and as sleet and a mixture of sleet and snow and rain is all coming down on them, they got themselves all settled into their tents, snuggled down in their sleeping bags with their mounds of blankets in 32 degree weather, which then got down to sub-freezing overnight. And then after we had them all settled in, the adults all went inside the hunting lodge where we had, you know, heat and cable TV and Wi-Fi, and we had a very comfortable night. So, you know, beds, things like that. And I actually felt really guilty doing that to them. But, you know, the whole point was, yeah, guys, look, you have to get in a certain number of nights of camping. I mean, if you want to advance, it requires, you know, X number of nights of camping, to move on to the next step, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, being in a hunting lodge doesn't count as camping. You got to be in a tent. And this is the whole point of winter camp out. And they're like, well, why aren't you guys out here? I'm like, I don't have any badges to earn. And I felt bad, but I don't. So, although to make up for it, we actually are going on, can't remember what they're calling it, but some kind of, you know, Arctic camp out thing. And we're going to do that. And it's actually going to be, this was just our troop, but we're actually going to do one with the district. And that's going to be, you know, this big planned thing in the end of January. So, and I'll actually be tenting out with Eli on that one. So I may be freezing my ass off. We'll see. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, since it gets dark early and it was really cold out, after we got supper done, we all came inside. Eli wanted to stay out by the fire. Nobody else wanted to stay out by the fire. So the guys broke out games. Oh, games. I got games. All right. So I had my whole stack of stuff, but no. What did they want to play first? Oh, one of them wanted to teach everybody poker, which was fantastic because I forgot how much I like poker. I didn't play, but, you know, most of them hadn't played before. So he gives them the basic instruction and I was there to kind of fill in the gaps of what he wasn't covering. And, you know, we handed out poker chips and, you know, they all started with like the equivalent of $350 and then dealt out some cards. And a couple of them were lost at first, but then by the end, man, they were really picking up on it, and they had a blast. Had an absolute blast going back and forth on it. It was a lot of fun. But then, as people kind of lost all their money and they got eliminated, well, I had my stack of games on the other side of the table, so I broke out some zombie dice, and we were kind of entertaining everybody with zombie dice while we were waiting. And then, finally, everybody comes over and everybody's playing zombie dice. So we did a couple rounds of that. And then they said, I said, well, you guys want to break out one of these other ones? And I had Castle Panic there, and I had Flux, and I had the zombie dice, and I had a whole ton of stuff. And what'd they pick? They wanted Munchkin. They wanted, specifically, I brought along Adventure Time Munchkin, which is actually one of the really good versions. Although Pathfinder Munchkin, I really like. Regular Munchkin, I really like. Adventure Time Munchkin, great game. I mean, Adventure Time Munchkin, and I've told you guys this before, but Adventure Time Munchkin is specifically really good because all the cards are marked very clearly what kind of card it is and whether it's one-handed, two-handed, headgear, you know, armor, whatever it is. And it's very easy to tell the cards apart and know, oh, if I put this one down, okay, they have the same symbol, it's going to replace this card. Okay, good. And they loved Munchkin. I have yet to introduce somebody to Munchkin that they have not been thrilled with it. And I know that there's people out there who don't like Munchkin. I just haven't played with any of them. None of them have gotten close to me because these guys, again, first round, second round, still pretty confused. By the third round, though, okay. Now they're all adding up their own numbers. They don't need me to give them any pointers. And by the time it started getting down to the end, you know, once people are getting up to level 6, 7, 8, they know how to be cutthroat. They know how to stab a guy in the back. It was great. It was really, really cool. They were making deals. They were trading cards. They were stabbing. I mean, they would stab somebody in the back. I mean, like just completely blow them out of the water. And then immediately right after go, oh, but you know, since you're in a bind now, I could provide you some assistance in exchange for a couple treasures. They were really good at it. So, again, Munchkin, awesome game. Now you guys know I'm playing the Fantasy Movie League, where we weekly try and guess what's going to perform best at the box office based on the cost of the movies to us, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All right. That's the Fantasy Movie League, but we also are just starting. And this is my brother and I and a couple guys that he works with. And this is just kind of a test run. And we're going to see how it works for 1 year. And then maybe next year, if we decide to keep doing it, maybe we'll invite other people in. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But we're doing a box office game where we're actually doing a draft like we do for the Deadpool. And so we drafted a whole bunch of movies that are going to be coming out in the next year. And then we'll get points based on, you know, how many weeks it's at the top of the box office and what, the biggest box office take for each season or for the whole year, and even bonus points for any of them that win Oscars or nominated for Oscars. I don't know how all the points work. I don't care. All I know is I drafted a whole bunch of movies and I'm really excited about them. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So we've got that coming up. And then but speaking of Deadpool, don't forget, guys, we have Nerd Pride Radio's, what is this, our 10th Deadpool that we're playing this year? 11th? I don't know how many. We've done a lot of Deadpools. And it is a draft system. Go check out the rules in our gaming section on the forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Look at the rules and come up with a list of 30 or 40 celebrities you think are going to die in 2016. Rank them in order of importance to you and submit me the list by Christmas Eve and you'll be in. All right. We'll put you into the draft. And it is a lot of fun because again, it's a low investment game. You spend, this next week thinking about it. You spend a couple hours putting together your list. And then for that investment, you then get all year of getting to keep an eye on stuff, and it'll go quiet for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden two or three famous people die at the same time, and we're all checking our lists and comparing our points, and extremely cool. So definitely, if you guys are interested, come on over and play some Deadpool with us. We would really, really like it. So go check that out on the forums. Also on the forums, my brother's game Homeroom is going to be coming up. He put an official start date on it of January 2nd. So if you're interested in role-playing as kids in junior high, and I have no idea what the plot is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be some supernatural ghost story. I don't know if it's going to be a battle royale. I don't know if it's going to be some heartfelt coming-of-age drama. I have no idea what we're doing. But I know that my brother's a great writer and a great game master, and the last game went off really, really well. So if you want to get in, we've got four people already committed with characters, three others that say they're going to be joining us shortly, as many as want to get in. So if you guys want to join us. And lastly on my gaming table, following homeroom, we're going to be playing some Paranoia. I am highly motivated to get a Paranoia game going. I'll let you know why in just a minute. But if you've never played Paranoia, it is a role-playing game where you are in a darkly humorous future where you live in Alpha Complex. Alpha Complex is ruled by the mostly insane computer who controls everything. And in this game, it's all about, I mean, it's paranoia. It is living under this oppressive big brother computer run government, and everybody's looking to stab everybody in the back, and there's mutant abilities, and there's secret societies, and there's lots and lots of hidden stuff. And throughout the game, you've got 6 clones, so you can die up to 6 times before your character's completely out. And in general, yeah, most people usually die 4, 5, 6 times during a game. And most of the time you die, you're killed by another player, which is all the fun. It's a long-held fact in Paranoia that if you just put all of your characters together in one room and don't give them any instructions, half of them will be dead inside of 10 minutes because that's how Paranoia works, and it's so much fun. So if anyone's interested in Paranoia, I will take as many people as want to play, and it won't start until after Homeroom is done. So Homeroom starts January 2nd, and then the follow-up game to that will be a game of Paranoia. But why am I so excited to play Paranoia? Well, let's get into my next segment. We're done with the gaming table. Now it's time for Pod People. Pod People is where I talk about the podcasts I've been listening to, and I've got some good ones going, but there's only one that matters right this moment. Sayer. S-A-Y-E-R. Sayer. Oh, and Serial just started season 2. Got the first episode of that. I'm interested, but that's not important right now. Sayer. If you have not listened to Sayer, I am telling you, go listen to Sayer right now. There are 43 episodes out already, about 20 minutes each, so they're not bad. And you have to listen to them from episode 1. You have to listen to them from episode 1, all right? And it is, I'm just going to tell you that it is a space station set in the near future, maybe. But after a natural disaster on Earth, and now there's a corporation that runs a space station called Typhon, and the space station's day-to-day activities are monitored and coordinated by Sayer, who is their, one of their artificial intelligent computer systems. And you listen to the first 2 episodes of Sayer. Go listen to them right now. All right. And then after you've listened to them, you'll come back to me and go, "You're right, Mike. I do want to play Paranoia right now." Yeah, I know. I know you do. Oh my God. It'll put you right in the mood. And there's some stuff from it that I kind of want to steal a little bit from my Paranoia game. Just kind of, some more of the serious and scary attitude that we don't, in our last few Paranoia games, we go kind of gonzo. Everything goes kind of big and, you know, there's a lot of funny in it. But there's also room amidst the funny for a little bit more scary and creepy, because that's what Sayer does for you. All right. Now you've listened to those first 2 episodes and you're working on 3 and then 4. And you're like, "Oh, Mike, when are we playing Paranoia? We have to play Paranoia now." Yeah, I know, dude, I'm right there with you. I need a little time to prepare for it though. Give it to me. All right. We'll get there. All right. And then you're going to listen to episode 6. When you get to episode 6, you're going to go, "Oh my God, that for a dark show, that took a dark turn, didn't it?" Yeah, it did. All right. And then you're going to think, "Wow, that was the most intense thing ever." And then you're going to get to episode 11. And after episode 11, you're going to go, "Well, oh my God." Yeah, no, 11 is the worst. And then it just keeps going. This show is incredible. It's telling a cohesive narrative. Okay. But it's so much. There's so many vignettes in it, and they tie together to create this overarching narrative. And it's building to ultimately what is looking to be a really epic story. And I don't want to give away any more than that. The only thing I can leave you with is to let you know, hey, don't worry, there are no bees on Typhon. It is an amazing story. All right. And so I want you guys to all subscribe to, and now again, now maybe not all of you have the same taste that I do. Maybe, darkly humorous with a little bit of creepy and scare, a lot of creepy and scary in it. Maybe that's not your style. Maybe the creeping dread that goes along with the humor of this show, maybe that's not quite your thing. And if so, I understand that. But I'm telling you, most of you, I know you guys, all right? You want to go listen to Sayer. It is amazing. And again, my only disappointment with it is I'm on episode 43. I've finished it, and now I have to wait. I think I've only got a week for the next episode, but 2 weeks between episodes? I can't wait that long. Oh, I mean, I get it. Look, these are intensive. The people behind this, Adam Bash is the guy who writes it. He's the guy who does most of the voice work. He puts a lot into this. And the people behind him, they put a lot into this. This is really professionally done, and it's a great story. So go listen to Sayer. This is my new favorite podcast. I can't get enough of it. I wish the episodes were coming faster because I'm so enjoying this. And again, you can thank Sayer for wanting me to start a game of paranoia. And here's the other thing, is there are so many things about Sayer that match a paranoia game so well that I almost wasn't going to recommend the podcast. I almost wasn't going to tell you guys about Sayer because there's 2, 3, 4 episodes of Sayer that, I mean, I don't even have to adapt anything. I could just take exactly that episode, exactly that scenario, and run it as a paranoia game with very little modification. I could be running that, and I really wanted to. All right, there's one that involves the food service, and you'll know it when you get to the food service episode. There's a couple of food service ones, but the first food service episode you get to, it is such a perfect paranoia mission all by itself. And I'm not going to give away what it is, but it's like I could take exactly what happened there. I could use a lot of the same words and phrases and motivations. I could name the characters and the robots the exact same things that they are in the podcast, and it would work perfectly. And I was going to run it exactly like that. And then I realized, no. If I'm going to run these episodes as paranoia missions, then I'm stuck because then I can't recommend Sayer to you guys. And I realize, all right, fine. I'll recommend Sayer. I'll let everybody else in on it. And then I'll just have to come up with other ideas. But don't worry. I have no shortage of ideas at this point. It's going to be great. Okay. Enough of that one. I also have some stuff on Roku. And I say stuff, but it's just one thing. I have been watching Jessica Jones. I'm trying to keep it to about an episode a day because that show is intense. If you haven't been watching Jessica Jones, man, you need to. I mean, you don't have to watch Daredevil first. You can. Daredevil is a good introduction to the Marvel TV universe. It's Netflix portion of the universe in Hell's Kitchen. But you don't have to watch Daredevil. Jessica Jones is its whole separate animal, and it's got Jessica Jones in it, and played by Kristen Ritter, and she's amazing in it. It's got Luke Cage, and he's awesome, and it is just a really well-written show, as I expected it would be. I'm thrilled to death, and I'm, again, not going to give away a whole lot about it. I'm only up to episode 9 now out of, I think, 13, so I'm getting close to the end. I can see things building up. I have no idea where it's going from here. And I will just tell you that there a lot of discussion has been made about this show being a show about surviving rape and it being a show about, and I'm not giving away anything with this. And yes, there's a lot of that element in it. But it's also about a lot of other stuff too. But it is the first 3 or 4 episodes, The PTSD is intense. This show manages to capture what I imagine living with PTSD is like in such a way that it's hard to watch. Those first 3 or 4 episodes are emotionally draining because the show has you looking over your shoulder and jumping at shadows as much as the characters, and it is incredible. And the things change, and I don't know if it's that I've just gotten used to that or if they're changing to other stuff. It's hard to analyze because it's a very you get very emotionally attached to this show. But it is great. It is really, really great, and I am so enjoying it, and I can't wait to see what comes next. I really can't. This is – look, we did Daredevil. We do Jessica Jones. We're going to have Luke Cage. They've now made agreements to do an Iron Fist. We know that Defenders is coming up. There is so much good stuff in here. I mean, I'm hooked on the Marvel Netflix stuff is where I live for the Marvel cinematic stuff. This is great. And again, as much as I enjoy the movies, and I do enjoy the movies, and I'm going to see all of them, but their TV shows are great. Go watch Jessica Jones. You want to. You really need to. Okay. That's it for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. You know what that means now? That's right. It's time for the pod-o-matic. Why do I always forget to turn him on? It's the one thing I need to do before – well, okay, it's not the one thing I need to do, but it's the most important thing I need to do before the show is turn R2-D2's switch to the on position. That's all I have to do. So let's try again. Pod-o-matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, turned on, all right, and in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Are you asking? Because I would be. Well, that's where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And again, more Pod-O-Matic entries are rolling in. You guys are being so wonderful to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate everything. You guys are great. And the first number, it's 11. Let's take a look. All right. Oh, look at that. See, I remembered to randomize the list. I remembered to get the Pod-O-Matic list set up. Couldn't remember to turn R2 on. All right. Number 11 is from Humongous. It says, do you have a green or brown thumb? I assume a brown thumb would be the opposite of a green thumb. I've never heard the term used that way, but I do not do well with plants, if that's what you're asking. Not, you know, my dad always had a garden when we were growing up. We had plants in the house. We had, you know, there was lots of stuff. And it's not like I don't have experience with it. It's not like I don't know what to do. But I'm forgetful and self-centered and a little bit lazy. And so therefore, you know, poor Yancey. Yancey's growing, we had some lemon mint thing growing in our office, some herbs and spices. We had ghost peppers growing in our office. We've had other stuff. And if he goes out of town for 3 or 4 days, you know, it's kind of iffy. I got better. I got better. You know, I started remembering them. I'd make, you know, make sure they get water, make sure I'm, you know, getting them into the sunlight and all this stuff. But, oh man, it is tough for me. And so, yeah, no, I'm not great with plants. Let's go with brown. Let's brown. I mean, you maybe could see a hint of green in there. No, it was just an illusion. I'm going to kill your plants. I'm sorry. Just the way it goes. And my wife is the same way. She's not forgetful like I am, but we've never had a whole lot of plants in our home. And because she has always said that she doesn't know what she does, but she kills plants. Every time she's ever had a plant, it's always been dead relatively quickly. And she says she doesn't know what she does or how she screws it all up, but she has just never been one to want to have a lot of plants in the house. So we never have. So that's just how it goes. 63 is from, let's see. Oh, come on. I know I've got numbers on this list somewhere. There they are. It's from my brother, Kyle. Kyle says, pickles are gross, right? Yes, pickles are gross. Ugh. I don't know what it is about a pickle. There's something that just, ugh. I mean, I'm not a big fan of cucumbers to start with. But once you turn them into pickles, and they get, I don't care what kind of pickle it is, I can't eat them. I can't eat them. I can't. I can't even, I don't even like the smell of them. I mean, the kids, my kids, every damn one of them, will eat a whole jar of pickles alone, and if you don't stop them, they'll drink the pickle juice when they're finished because that's how much they love pickles. All right, and so they'll come around after they've just eaten a bunch of pickles, and now they're got it on their fingers, and they smell like pickle, and it's just, no, get away from me. Don't touch me with your pickle fingers. It's gross. It's gross. On the other hand, you put pickle-flavored powder on a potato chip, I am in. Oh, I love pickle chip, pickle potato chips. Not pickle chips, that's a different thing. But pickle-flavored potato chips, I'm in. I love it. I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is. But, you know, put a pickle on my burger. Oh, yeah, I know. I can pick the pickle off, right? I can take it off, and then I'm fine. Yeah, but now I've got pickle flavor on my burger. And even though I love the pickle-flavored potato chips, you have that pickle juice on my burger. I don't know if it's that I really don't like the flavor or if it's just that I taste it there and I'm like, oh, it's pickle juice. I know the pickles have been touching my stuff. I can't. I don't know. I'm really, really messed up about pickles. I don't like pickles. It's just bad. And so much so that things like a pickled egg. There's nothing wrong with a pickled egg. They actually taste pretty good, and yet it's got the word pickle in it, and therefore, I have problems. Pickled sausage? I love pickled sausage, and yet, if I'm going to eat it, I have to forget that, you know, it says pickled on it. I'm weird. I know. But pickles are gross. You're absolutely dead on this one, brother. Pickles are gross. 07. That was a great question. Thank you. 07 is from Mrs. Darks. I know her. Mrs. Dark says, what Christmas carol do you never want to hear again? Oh, all right. I can go with that. Is it a Christmas carol, Baby It's Cold Outside? I mean, I just, my wife, because there's that cute Michael Bublé and somebody else Christmas version of, Christmas, anyway, version of Baby It's Cold Outside, and they have little kids in the video, and so therefore they've kind of toned it down so it's not so rapey. And it's a cute song, and my wife was talking about liking that song, and I said, well, yeah, but it's a date rape song. Maybe it was Aiden. They were listening to it on the way to school. Aiden was the one that told her, yeah, well, but it's a rape song. And so sure enough, she listens to the words. She's like, what? Rapes? What? And so, you know, yeah, we listen to it together, and we explain it. It's like, yeah, see, look at that. She's saying that it's time for him to, it's time to leave. And he said, oh, you can't go. Come on, stay, have another drink. Let's go. He's getting her liquored up. He's trying to convince her that it's a rape song and it's bad. And, Key and Peele did a great, send up of that. If you haven't seen Key and Peele's, version of Baby It's Cold Outside, where they have reworked the lyrics and the music. So it's not the same song, but it might as well be. They just make sure you absolutely can't miss the rape in the song. So, yeah, that would be the one that I would prefer not to have that one come around anymore. Oh, and, oh, look, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Clearly that sucker can go as well. And there's a few others like that. But Baby It's Cold Outside, while, you know, I liked that song when I was younger. I mean, it's a catchy little tune, and you got the little back and forth going, and then you get a little older and you realize, oh, wait, yeah, no, that's not right. You can't do that. Yeah. So, yeah, let that one go. 11 we've done already. Let's try again. 16. And 16 comes from, oh, there it is, just barely. Ah, it's from Mrs. Darks again. And Mrs. Darks asks me, if you had to relocate to a country where English is not widely spoken, where would it be? And I'm not even going to tell you you can't use Japan, although I think English is pretty prevalent there, because I'm nice. Oh, thank you. Because she knows I've been to Japan. All right. I have to go to a country where English is not widely spoken. Where would I go? I don't know. I wouldn't. Well, okay. Not widely spoken. That's rough, because most of Europe, you know, at least Western Europe, you're going to find lots of people who speak English. I mean, it may not be, you know, it may not be a majority of people who speak English. It may not necessarily be widespread, but it's going to be a lot of people. I mean, you know, can you move to the Netherlands? Because I think everybody in the Netherlands speaks English, don't they? I mean, I know it's not their native language, but they're all way smarter than us, and they all speak multiple languages because, you know, they live in Europe. You know, France. You could go to France. France wouldn't be a bad place to live. I really wouldn't mind that. And they don't yes, you will find English speakers there, but I don't think nearly enough to function day to day. But I also see, I think that if I moved to France, well, I could learn French. I mean, you know, I could do it. At least French is a language that, and, you know, this may be Eurocentric of me. It may be just what I'm used to, but at least French, I hear French spoken. I'm like, okay, I could make out words if I wanted to. If I was forced to, I could learn French or German for that matter. Although, for some reason, I think I'd be, would I rather live in France or Germany? I mean, if it just comes down to one of those two. I don't know. France was the first one that came to mind, so let's go with that. Like I said, I think Netherlands would be cheating. I think there's too much English there. But yeah, I wouldn't mind living in France. I wouldn't mind living in, you know, if I had to go to a country where English wasn't the majority language or wasn't widely spoken. I don't know. Anywhere's fine. But, you know, France would be a good one. They're fairly, the country itself, the, you know, the day to day of culture and, economy and all that wouldn't be so terribly alien to me that I wouldn't be able to, you know, figure things out eventually. You know what I mean? So I'm not being terribly adventurous here, but, it's a place where I feel like I could fit in. You know, I could fit in and it wouldn't take me forever to do it. So I don't know. That's the best I got for right now. 41. 41 comes from, oh, there it is. It's from Kyle. Kyle says, look to your left and describe exactly what you see and then read the rest of this entry. To the left. Well, okay, hold on. I have to turn left while keeping my face on the mic. There's my front door and a wall and our love seat over there and a pile of shoes by the front door. Okay. Now read the rest of the entry. Okay. Now, more detail, please. Seriously, that's what you got? Okay. On the love seat is somebody's hoodie and my computer bag, which it's just the bag because obviously I have the computer over here. And then in front of it is a cooler since we just got back from camping, and the cooler is mostly empty. I mean, I'm giving you details that I can't see from here, but I know that we put away all the perishable food stuff. And so in the bottom, I think there is like half a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos that, unless Eli took those out and ate them already. And I can't even imagine what else is still in there. Oh, and still like four leftover cans of soda. But we never actually put any ice in it because it was below freezing out. So we didn't bother putting ice in it. We just left the cooler sitting outside. It was just a convenient way to carry stuff. And and then there's also a huge box from my mom that's our Christmas package. And we haven't yet opened it. But she gave us permission to, so I think tomorrow, we were hoping Jacob would come home this weekend, we'd all open it together, but he's not going to be here, so I think we're just going to open it up tomorrow, because I know that there's some really awesome spicy Chex Mix in there that I'm going to take to work, because I love the spicy Chex Mix. And then, let's see, my coffee table, my couch, Aiden's work shoes in the middle of the damn floor, Aiden, what is wrong with you? Man, do you guys need more detail than that? I think I've already bored you enough. 61 is, it's also from Kyle. Kyle wins. All right. Open your iTunes or whatever player device you usually use and tell us the last three songs you've listened to. Oh, my wife did the exact same thing to me last week. Where's my darn phone? Although because I've been so obsessed with Sayer, my answer won't change from the last time I answered because I haven't listened to any music at all lately. I was reading my brother's book and I was listening to Sayer. And since I found out that I can very easily watch Netflix on my phone as well. So like while we were stuck camping, I was in the hunting lodge with the Wi-Fi. I was going to record my podcast last night, but the other adults that were there, oh man, they stayed up late talking, and then they went over here, and then there was no way to get into a private bedroom where there wasn't, you know, there's people up in the main room talking, so I can't record out there, but I can't go back to the bedroom I had because there were adjoining bedrooms where people were actually asleep. Oh man, there was just no good way to do it. So I wound up sitting back with my Netflix on my phone and watching Jessica Jones there. So I haven't listened to any music. So what did I say last time? I know Fraggle Rock was in there. Was that the one? Was it? Oh man, now I gotta go find my phone. Darn it, I want to give a thorough answer. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Fraggle Rock. And then before that, and Fraggle Rock by Alistair. It's a punk rock version. It's really good. My brother gave it to me. And then, okay, there's Skull Crusher Mountain by Jonathan Colton. And then before that, oh, Kielbasa by Tenacious D. One of my favorite songs. In fact, Kielbasa, my playlist that has all of my most favoriteest songs in it, the playlist is named Kielbasa after that song because I like that song so much. So there you go. Fraggle Rock by Alistair, Skull Crusher Mountain by Jonathan Colton, and Kielbasa by Tenacious D. Those are the last three songs. Good? 96. 96 is, oh darn it. Got to learn where the mouse is. There it is. All right. 96 is from, there it is. It's from Mrs. Darks. All right. Mrs. Darks says, I just saw the word homeopathy, so I'm excited to see where this is going. We've established that homeopathy is essentially bunk science. Yes, we have. Good. But what about home remedies that have their basis in science? Which home remedies do you use? That is a great question. I don't know about home remedies that have a basis in science because, I don't know, home remedies are home remedies. I don't use a lot of them, or at least if I do, I don't realize I do. I don't know. I don't have a problem with home remedies. If there's lots of things out there that if it brings comfort or if it, you know, if it helps somebody, you know, even if it's a placebo effect, I'm all right with that, I guess. And there's also lots of stuff out there that helps, and there's good reasons that it helps, and it just doesn't happen to be a medication. That's fine, too. I don't know. I've not put a lot of thought into that one. And if I did, I'd probably wind up realizing that some of my attitudes are a little contradictory and hypocritical compared to the vehemence with which I put down homeopathy and certain other new wave, quote-unquote, Eastern medicines and this kind of stuff, holistic medicine. And there's a bunch of stuff out there that is bunk alongside stuff that actually has some value. And again, ones that are clearly crap like homeopathy, and yet they're being pushed as science by people who should really know better. Look, for example, and if you go to a chiropractor, I am not knocking your chiropractor. All right. Chiropractors are fine. All right. They do a lot of stuff that provides pain relief, pain management. There's lots of great stuff that they can do when they are talking about working on your back and, you know, the massage therapy kind of stuff and back adjustment. For the most part, I'm good with that. But when a chiropractor, for example, is telling me that I need to bring a baby in for chiropractic adjustment because if they properly align this baby's back, then it will help prevent whooping cough and ear infections and a whole host of other things. No, that now it's snake oil. When you tell me that I should bring in babies and children, because getting a chiropractic adjustment on a regular basis for a baby is going to prevent a huge range of potential illnesses, then you're full of crap. All right. At that point, you're just making stuff up. But again, I don't want to knock chiropractors because they do some valuable stuff. Alongside this bunk, you know, aligning your chakra kind of thing that they do. I don't have anything against chiropractors as individuals. I don't have a problem with a lot of the work that a lot of them do, but I do have a lot of problem with, with the idea that, that there's some panacea, that there's some miracle cure for everything that ails you by properly aligning your spine and whatever else it is they do. It's a little crazy. Anyway, I'm straying from home remedies. And again, I can't think of any good examples off the top of my head for home remedies. I mean, the only home remedy I can ever remember is, you know, being 12 years old and having a horrible sore throat. And so, you know, whenever we'd have a really bad cough and sore throat, I can remember my parents would take us into the bathroom, and they'd run the hot shower and they'd run the hot sink, and they'd get the whole room steamed up, and you know, they'd have you in there deep breathing and coughing with all that moisture in the air and to help clear out the lungs, which I don't know if, you know, going into a steam room when you have a cough like that or bronchitis or whatever, I don't know if that's good for you or not, but I know that that's what we did. And it, you know, it seems like it might be good for you. I have no idea. But that's what we always did when I was a kid. And I also remember a couple of times getting just like, I mean, it wound up being like a half a shot of whiskey along with, you know, honey and lemon juice. And you'd take that for the sore throat, and it would coat and soothe and supposedly be helpful. And again, I don't know if any of that's true. I don't know if it really helped or not, but it was tasty. So, you know, but I don't know. And I don't have a whole lot of problem with it. It's especially for home remedies like that. Most of the time, it's not somebody, whether they work or don't work, or it's a placebo, or there's a scientific basis for it, or whatever else is behind it. I don't have a problem with them when it's home remedies being passed around that, you know, it's not necessarily dangerous to anybody, and there's nobody out there trying to scam money out of people for selling this remedy. That's the part where it really starts to get to me. And again, my views on it are probably contradictory and probably hypocritical, and I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it. So I'm speaking out my ass right here. I'm just guessing. I have no idea. You know what? One more. Let's clear the palate. Number 12 comes from someone who's at the top of the list. Here we go. It's from Ronster. Ronster, the man who bought me the perfect die for. Ronster says, if your kids had been born girls, what name would have been chosen for each of them? Discard this if you think it might embarrass them. Okay, so this is not the same question I've answered before, but I have answered this before. And once again, Caitlin would have been Jacob's name. Hold on. My wife is here this time. I wasn't able to give a full answer because my wife wasn't here. Let me go get her. Just a second. Oh, she's way better at this game than I am. Jacob would have been Caitlin, or we also talked about Emily, but Caitlin probably would have been the one. Aiden would have been Danica. That was the only one we had picked out for him. Eli would have been either Faith or Lauren, and I believe we were leaning towards Lauren by the time, well, but then we found out he was going to be a boy, so it didn't make any difference. But Lauren was one we were leaning towards. And then Noah, I always thought we didn't have a girl's name picked out, but she said the one that we were leaning towards on Noah was McKenna. But we also had absolutely no belief that he was going to be a girl. At that point, we were just convinced that we were only having boys forever. And sure enough, we were right. So there you go. My wife has all the answers, way better than the answer I gave you guys last time. Scratch that. Pretend that this is what I said last time. There you go. All right. That's enough. We are all done with the Podomatics. And that means it's time for, what's her name? GLaDOS. GLaDOS has to come out here and give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I used Weezer's In the Garage for my gaming segment, and My Son the Astronaut by Oppenheimer for the Pod People segment. And did I do any other segments? No, just Roku. We're good. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Want instructions on how to make your own pocket mod? Go to pocketmod.com. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to all your friends. If you enjoy it, there's got to be other people in your life who would also enjoy this podcast. Please spread the word. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, just as Kaz did the research and provided links for my episode number today. Don't forget to send me questions or topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for my listener betrayal. And again, you got a really interesting nerd fact, a suggestion for a sponsor or a co-host, or even how Nerd Pride Radio smells this week, you send it to me. Save me all that grueling work and research and thinking. I hate having to think. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But come on, to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together, become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. Now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start every podcast, before I start recording, I go on to my forums, I go on to Facebook, I let people know I'm recording, and anything you guys reply to those posts, I will read it right here. It's what I do. Again, you guys are doing my work for me. Let's start off with my website. And Eliahad posts up and says, "Hi, Mike." "Hey. Hi, Eli. How are you, man?" He says, "We're getting down towards the end of the year, and it means that everyone's going to have to take a look at what that at the year." I'm sorry. Stumbling over my own words because I was trying to read ahead. "We're getting on towards the end of the year, and it means that everyone is going to have to take a look at the year that was. How was your year?" Pretty good, I think. I'm not sure. He says, "I'm still assessing mine, but I think when you finally average out the ups and downs, it still ended up on the good side of the ledger. Definitely had some moments like all the Pathfinder games, that trip I took through Nebraska towards Indianapolis." Righteous. Yeah, absolutely right. And he says, "My C key," and he had to spell out S-E-A-C, "key isn't working, as you may be able to tell through my use of strange words and grammar. I had not noticed, but, dude, you gotta get that fixed. I know what a pain in the ass it is when you don't have a letter working. So, man, get that fixed. Especially, well, I say especially C. At least C isn't, you know, the most common letter out there, right? I guess. DM Darks follows up with, "Cheryl's Chili Cheap Chip Shop sells Cheryl's Cheap Chips." Yeah, I'm sure it does. You're showing off, man. He also follows up with, "Chester Cheetah chews a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. Chocolate chip cookies in a copper coffee cup. Clean clams crammed in clean cans. Into the Badlands is awesome, right?" Well, of course Into the Badlands is awesome. But more than that, now that I'm looking at DM Darks' lovely icon, Thursday this week, I will be on Me Like Trivia. You should be listening to Me Like Trivia all the time anyway. DM Darks' podcast, Pat, with his friends, and they do trivia. And they have been doing, all through the month of December, they are doing daily episodes of Me Like Trivia. They're doing an episode for every letter of the alphabet right now. And my episode is Q, and it will be on Thursday. So, again, you should already be listening to Me Like Trivia anyway. But if you're not, at least tune in for my episode, find out how much you really enjoy these guys and their sense of humor, and then you'll start listening on a regular basis, because they're a lot of fun. So, anyway, done with that one. Let's head on over to Facebook, see if anybody replied there. And Facebook is, hey, there we go, Nelly. Nelly says, "Howdy." Oh, man, you've been in America too long. Howdy. "I'm glad I got in again." Which, by the way, I say howdy all the time. That's my standard greeting is howdy. I love that word. Anyway, "Howdy. I'm glad I got in again. What's shaking?" Not much. Hanging out. "What is the most beautiful word in the world?" Oh, you are putting me on the spot. The most beautiful word in the world? Oh, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, because are you talking about the most beautiful sound in the world? Because that would take some thought on my part, and I'm not very good at it. I'm not sure. I mean, look, the most beautiful word is love. I mean, when you get down to the meaning of stuff, love. I love to love things. That's what this podcast is about. I love to love things. Love. All right. But also, you know, awesome is a great word. I use that all the time. But no, I'm going to stick with love. Love, I mean, for now. Now, that is a cheap answer because I'm just basing it on just the meaning of the word. So actually, really, saying it's the most beautiful word. I'm really giving you the most beautiful concept in the world, and love is the best of all things. So I'm really kind of cheating, but I will think about it, and I want everyone else to think about it too. If you guys have any good suggestions, what's the most beautiful word in the world? Help me out on this one, because I'm not going to get it in, you know, the space of time it takes to do a listener betrayal, but I know there's good answers out there. We just have to find them. Saskatchewan. No, it's certainly not Saskatchewan. I'm going to stick with love for now. All right, but we'll get something better. So then it's Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth says, so, Mike, before episode 119 comes out, Star Wars The Force Awakens will be in theaters. And then she follows that with, first, it's 3 exclamation points, and then yay! And then what's your all-time favorite Star Wars moment so far? Ooh, that's good. My favorite Star Wars moment. I have never thought of it in terms like that. Now, first off, don't jump to any conclusions, because episode 119 might come out before Star Wars does. This is what I was going to tell people, because Kaz has been seriously disappointed that listener betrayal goes up and, you know, you only have an hour and a half to catch it before I wind up shutting it down. So Kaz, if you're listening to this episode, don't feel bad. I think I'm going to have the opportunity to record a couple of episodes this week. It's going to work out that I'm going to be in a place where I might have some time to just sit back and record. And they may be short ones, maybe not, but look for it in the mornings this week. So, if you're at work in the morning, you know, somewhere, you know, between, I have no idea, you know, 9-ish to 11-ish, somewhere in there, I may be squeezing in a couple of extra episodes this week. Got some time to take off work before the end of the year, got some other stuff I'm doing, and I thought, you know what, I can maybe do a little something too while I'm there. This would be cool. So anyway, I'm not avoiding the question. My favorite Star Wars moment so far. And honestly, I'm going to have to – there's so much iconic stuff, and it's going to be from – it's going to be either from Star Wars or it's going to be from Empire Strikes Back. That's just how things go. I'm going to have to say I was super impressed the first time I saw Star Wars back when I was 12. I was so impressed with Obi-Wan just walking into Mos Eisley and using his Jedi mind tricks on people. And you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. These aren't the droids we're looking for. That was the first time I ever saw that trick in any movie, anywhere, anything. All right. And now, of course, Kilgrave is doing it on a weekly basis in Jessica Jones. But Obi-Wan was the first time I saw that, and I loved it. It blew me away. It was the coolest Jedi power of all the stuff they did. I mean, look, the lightsabers were cool too, and everyone loves a good lightsaber battle. And the whole movie was so exciting, and the huge epic win at the end and all of that stuff. That's great. But Jedi mind tricks, again, just, you know, the move along. I loved watching Obi-Wan. Whatever he said, the guy just repeated it and let him do whatever he needed. I thought it was brilliant. So that was my favorite, but I'm looking forward to Force Awakens. And I will give you guys my opinion on it, hopefully spoiler-free, whenever I get a chance to see it. And it probably won't be until after Christmas, but we'll find out. Anyway, that's it for this week. So say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, R2. Later.